Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of What Are You Talking About? Before I introduce my guest for today, I wanted to thank our partners Thirdsy. I have never slept better than the last few months using Thirdsy. We talk a lot on this podcast about recovery and sleep and all those little things that will help to make your performance way, way better. Check them out now at the link in show notes, thirdsy.com, and use the code WODSLEEPER to get 20% off. Now, I'm so excited to be joined today by Chase Ingram. If you don't know his name, which I'm sure you do, you will definitely know his voice. He's been a key part of so many incredible, huge CrossFit events over the years and is known for being in that play-by-play box with Sean Woodland, providing us with all the analytics and commentary we love to hear. It was so cool to hear about Chase's experience into CrossFit as well as his time at the Games in 2010. It's a great chat and I really hope you enjoy. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to be the first to hear our new episodes and content. Chase, thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's eclipse day. Apparently, it's a big thing here. And where I am in the States is I am in the direct path of the full eclipse, which is gonna, it's like an hour and a half from now. So like schools are doing a thing. Oh yeah. It's like, it's a massive thing that's going on, but yeah. So I'm in the path of totality is what they call it. So in an hour and a half, I'll get to stare at the sun. Like my mom and dad told me not to for my entire life. I'll wear glasses, but yes.
It's like that one thing. It's like I saw Hoda and Savannah from today, like post a picture of them in glasses. And like, it is, like you say, the one thing that our parents teach us not to do. And then we have this whole thing of like, it's go stare at the sun.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, I think these are the right ones, even though I bought them at like a grocery store or Amazon. So I'm just going to make sure that these are the ones I should be using. But yeah, I'm excited for that. I haven't seen we've had a variety of eclipses. I think the most recent one is like 2017, but it wasn't like a full one. So special time. My son's like super pumped about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool experience. I love that. And I was going to say, because we're obviously at this weird time in the CrossFit season where it's like kind of start of the season into it. But like, do you feel like you get an off season? Because obviously we're in the season, but for you, you're working all year round with all the different things. But do you feel like you get an off season?
It's not necessarily an off season. It's a shift of, I don't want to say seriousness because it's all serious, but the thing I like about the off season events outside of say the CrossFit game season. So if you think like February to August, which is the main game season, then after that is what we quote unquote the off season. The thing I like about the off season a lot is that it gives you an opportunity to do more events outside of like the strict regimen that is the game space, right? There's a certain way, like we need to really be paying attention to the athletes, especially when you're on a broadcast. But I like the off season because it's a bit more laid back. It's a bit more old school, which is I'm all about when it comes to CrossFit specifically. So it's more relaxed in the off season. And then when you think about like, say, the CrossFit Games podcast or my podcast with Get With The Programming, it's like so hyper-focused on competition or the season itself. And then in the off season, there's not as many events you really need to like focus on or get bombarded with. So you get to be a bit more creative in how you want to flex your content when it comes to those things. So I enjoy the off season. I don't see it any as like, I need one, but just, I love CrossFit so much. I love following the game season. Like I get super pumped for the game season, but when it's over, you're pretty, I mean, you're wiped a little bit. It's just like constant for a few months, but then the off season comes like, oh, this new event's coming. And I just, it's so much fun that I don't really need, plus I'm not even like, it's not like I'm an athlete. Like I'm not physically getting up season. Now, so I think it's great.
Oh, and that's the thing, right? The off season is so busy now. Like 10 years ago, there was a literal off season where nothing happened, and now, as you say, events are cropping up here, there, and everywhere, all over the world. Going into the Open this year, obviously, and we're going to dive into it because I'm so intrigued, but you've been kind of every role within CrossFit. You've been to the games, you've been an athlete, you're obviously a broadcaster, so involved. How has the Open changed for you over the years?
I feel like Open, outside of the actual format of the Open changing, I mean, we all know what that is over the years. And you know, it's like the last major Open was 2018 when we still had regionals. And then the sanctioned events started coming in 2019. You could go directly to the games. And then 2021 comes along and now we have three events versus the five and the six that we originally started with in 2011. My personal Open experience has changed just by the life priorities of which I have at the time. You know, in 2011, I was trying to go back to the CrossFit Games as an individual athlete. I was, you know, just a coach in a gym, been there for a couple years and, you know, dating this girl who eventually will become my wife. And my priorities could all center around CrossFit and what I wanted to do as an individual, which is try to compete at the CrossFit Games again. And then over the years, I opened up my own affiliate, and then the Open changed for, you know, I was still have my own individual goals, but now I had more people that were under my care and responsibility. And I wanted them to chase whatever it is they wanted to at the time competitively. And then as things go on, this year's Open was very interesting for me because I missed last year. I had to have shoulder surgery back in January of 2023, and I wasn't in an affiliate anymore. I was basically in my garage, which was the first time ever that I wasn't doing the Open, not necessarily actively as a participant, because I missed part of 2012 as well, basically for the same reason. And I was just in my garage, and it was really weird. To be honest, it was very lonely. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And because I've spent so much time in affiliates, whether it was coaching and managing one that wasn't my own and then having my own for a decade. And so I don't know, last year was not an enjoyable experience altogether for a variety of reasons. And so this year it was cool because like, oh, I could do the Open again. I'm healthy, cleared, I'm back. And then I went into an affiliate to do all the Open workouts. And then I was like, okay, this is the fun part. And from the Open's perspective is like, if you look at it from just the competitive athlete perspective. Yeah, the Open has massively changed as far as like its importance to the competitive athlete. But now more than ever, which I think is really cool by the way the season's structured, is that the Open is now more important than ever to more people than ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because even in the old days where we enjoyed the thrill of sport, where like when the Open mattered for elite athletes, like it was fun to follow if you were a fan of the sport. And even though you couldn't do maybe 80% of what was programmed, depending on your skill level, it didn't bother you as much because you knew you were just a part of this really like elite competition, even though it was a worldwide participatory event. And as it's changed over time, the athletes' perception of the Open has obviously changed. And that's just their own personal experience. And the super fans that loved what the sport was are trying to figure out what it is. But I mean, the Open has never been more engaging for more people.
Mm-hmm. And I think with the changes, it's nice because that's kind of going to continue now, like over the next few weeks with quarterfinals. So we're getting more people involved and more engagement. And like, I don't know, maybe different for you, but I used to go into an affiliate and one person was doing quarterfinals or maybe two, whereas now there's going to be like 10 people doing it. So it creates that environment again. I know you've spoken about it obviously on numerous podcasts, but like, do you like that we've got this kind of added engagement and added participants in this next stage of the season?
I do. And just like everyone else is like, I don't know what the events are going to be for quarterfinals. So there's that nervousness of think of like the affiliate owner's perspective, because as an individual, even if you're just doing the Open for fun or quarterfinals for fun, you don't really have the stress that it takes for the affiliate owner does as far as what they have going on. And what I think is important is that we trust that CrossFit does what they did for the Open this year, right? The feedback that a lot of affiliate owners gave to CrossFit from last year was, hey, this programming, though it was like good, was very tough to run in an affiliate, especially with quarterfinals, because I mean, quarterfinals were programmed for semifinal athletes. That was quarterfinals last year, and that was only the top 10%. And so the worry was, hey, if we do the same thing we did last year with 10%, now with 25%, like that's another 15% of people that won't even be able to do some of these workouts. And then if you have more people doing it, that's another 25% of people that an affiliate might not even be able to run athletes through. And so there's that nervousness of quarterfinals become this way. But if we go off what they said was going to happen in the open and what they gave us in the open, which was much more easy to run workouts for the affiliate owners, much more easy to do from a wider range of athletes. Now in quarterfinals, you need to beef it up a little bit because you are still qualifying people to semifinals. Mm-hmm. And you know, as I've looked at it now, is that the love that everybody had for the competitive landscape in the old open is now the new quarterfinals. Yeah. And there's definitely a way to do it. And I trust that CrossFit will do its job as far as programming something that will challenge a 25% demographic, which again is way more talented than the old opens of 2011 to 2018, right? We're not talking about 200,000 men and 200,000 women competing in the open circa 2018. Right. And yeah. So we have less people. I would argue a more talented, fit demographic. I mean, it's what, 6 years later? I hope they're fitter than they were. And I think they really can do that. So I'm excited what it will be. I really do like quarterfinals because it did give me old open vibes where it was like, hey, there's 10 to 15 of us. Okay, we can't do it in the group class at the time, but we would all get together at a certain time on Friday, and then we'd come back on Saturday morning and then maybe in the afternoon. And it just felt like the old stressors and excitement of what the open was, which I like that they have in quarterfinals. Now, what it would be cool too is that they say the programming will be able to be done in a group class setting. So an hour long class, this workout can be done with your entire class. There's only four of them. So you could program basically all of them from Thursday to Monday, since the workouts come out on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And, and yeah, I hope it is building off what we had in the open, yet a more challenging test for all the athletes and especially the ones that were qualifying to semifinals. I mean, this year's quarterfinals, I believe is the most important online programming they've ever had.
Yeah.
Because of less people qualifying to semifinals in North America and Europe.
Yeah.
And more people entering quarterfinals than ever before. And I don't think it's that difficult to balance that, but I'm also curious to see what it is.
Yeah. It's going to be so interesting. And I think I'm excited, as I say, to have that open feel. But even in terms of, I love, and I'm sure like you do too, that in the open, when someone does something they don't think they can do, because we're going to see that right in quarterfinals. Yeah. But I'm also excited to see kind of what catches people out because that's surely got to happen, right? So yeah, I think as you say, it's going to be really, really interesting. And we'll see. And if it's just around the corner, it comes around so quickly, it feels so far away, it comes around so quickly. I would love to go back because you are a CrossFit OG. As I said to you before we started recording, the entire time I've been doing CrossFit, I've known your voice, I've known your name. But who was pre-CrossFit Chase? What was your kind of fitness, exercise, sport background before you discovered CrossFit?
Before I discovered CrossFit, I was a swimmer in college, a swimmer and water polo player in high school. And then post-college, I really got deep into triathlons. So from high school through college to post-college, I was very endurance-based as far as a sport, and then a very, I would say, high skill endurance as far as swimming, just a high technical high skill. Mix and match those words. And it was more of just like, okay, I don't have a coach anymore. I don't have a team anymore. What do I do? And I was just like floating around the weight room, watching people do things. And I just missed being coached. And so I joined a buddy. He had a triathlon team. We did that for a couple of years. And a big goal of mine in high school was I wanted to complete an Ironman. Yeah. So like a full Ironman triathlon. I would watch the Kona Ironman Championships shows every year when it came up, and I didn't have aspirations of like making it to Kona because that requires basically it's like a full-time job of training.
Crazy.
But I just wanted to see if I could do that. Right? And so like some type of physical challenges were always fun and exciting for me to do regardless of what sport or age I was. And so after college, it's like, okay, I'm going to build up to try to see if I can one day complete an Ironman. And this is about 2006 is when I graduated college. And then I want to say 2008, I had ran into a buddy I hadn't seen in 2 years since we had graduated college together and we'd swam together. And I don't know about if you know about swimmers, but like swimmers are all shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. And they could be in the same event. They typically look the same, but like, it's not unlike say like track and field sports. You, a 100 meter, 200 meter athlete looks vastly different than a 4 to 8 and vastly different than a mile to 5K or a 10K or marathon runners. But then when you mix in the field sports is like, heptathletes look different than all of them.
Yeah.
Or you look at the throwings, the you know, the shot put, and like everyone looks different. And so my buddy, I was really skinny. Like I think my senior year of college, I was 6'2", 170 pounds. And the metric system I realize is probably more your
Don't ask me to do that maths.
I can't remember what it is. I should know this.
I don't know. It's going to be like, what, 80 odd kilos, something like that? I don't know. Someone.
Yeah, it's 170. So yeah, 80, a little bit less. So like 78.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
Like 176.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm same height, but 100 or maybe like 98 kilos.
Yeah. I'm glad you know the difference because that's what Google's for me.
Right. Yeah. Doing this for a while is like, if I'm broadcasting overseas, like these are things that I've had to pick up on. Usually I just look at the color of the plates and I can pretty much guess what they are.
Yeah.
But so we met and I was the taller string beanie swimmer and he was like the shorter, softer swimmer. It was just weird. And I, at the time in 2008, I was looking for something different. My mom was a swimmer and a water polo player, but my dad was a football player, an American football player. And so like, I never had muscle really. Right. But I wanted it. And at the time I was like, okay, I'm looking at these like private training athlete facilities or just looking at people in the gym that I'm floating around. I was like, okay, you have muscle. I'm going to just watch you from the treadmill for an hour and see what exercises you're doing. And when you leave, I'll sneak over there and try to do them myself. And I was just searching for this. And I just wanted to change.
Mm-hmm.
I run into him and he looks exactly like I want to look and that he never looked like in college. And so I just run into him and I was like, what have you been doing? He's like, I've been doing CrossFit. I was like, where? It's over here. And it's like 5 minutes from where I was. I was like, I'll see you on Monday. Because this was the weekend. And I did. I showed up the next Monday and we walk in and it's just like bare bones, wood framed, steel siding, warehouse, no AC, early 6 o'clock in the morning class. Music blasting, this coach comes out and he's another physical specimen of what I was like, oh, this is a good sign. I've come to the right place. I come to find out is like, hey, these workouts are for time. I was like, you mean we get to race? I'm still in like race competition mode. Like I've always been way overly competitive, which has been a positive and a negative depending on what circle I'm running with at the time. But the first workout we did was Fran. I didn't know what Fran was, right? Like when we hear that now, we're like, oh dang. Like that's stuff. Like I didn't know what it was. It's like, all right, 20 and 15, 9, what this thruster thing. And they teach us that. I was like, okay, a squat press. Okay. I could do that. And then pull-ups. Like I always did a lot of pull-ups and all of the pull-ups I ever did in college was strict. And so when I found out I got to kip, I was like, oh, this is great. And so we're warming up and it's 95 pounds for the men, which is what, 40 kilos?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, is that right? 43, 43 kilos.
Yeah.
And I can do them okay. I'm not moving super fast. And he comes up to me. He's like, hey, maybe we should scale the weight back. And I was like, you're the boss. I don't want to, because I'm 20. How old am I? 24, 25, maybe, with an ego, because I came in thinking I was super fit. Right. Mm-hmm. I've been doing triathlons. I'm working up to this Ironman. I've been doing collegiate sports for 4 to 5 years. I've been an athlete, I've been an athlete my whole life. And, you know, I'll show you how good I am, kind of an attitude walking in. And he had me lighten the load. I think he bumped it down to like 75 pounds, which is like, what, 35 kilos. And we start. I do 21 thrusters as fast as I can. No braking. I go to the pull-up bar and I do 21 pull-ups. Unbroken as fast as I can. I get back to the barbell. I touch it with my hands and then I stand up and realize like something is happening to my body that I don't think I've actually ever experienced before in my life. And what maybe took a minute and a half to do 21, I didn't finish that workout for another 4 minutes post that. Now, it's still not like a horrible time, but as far as I started, or as fast as I started, was definitely not. And that was the wildest wake-up call I've like experienced from a fitness standpoint ever. And so like anybody, I'm tongue in cheek there. I was like, I'll be back. And so I didn't come back for a little while, but I was secretly training in another in a Globo gym to try to get in shape to start CrossFit. And so like, I was that guy. I was that guy that was like, okay, I got my ego crushed at this gym. I want to come back because I don't want to embarrass myself again. So I'm going to secretly get in shape for CrossFit to join a CrossFit gym, which we all know well and know with like now is like 2008. That was a lot different. We know it's like the best way to get in shape for CrossFit is to join a CrossFit gym.
Yeah. Is to turn up.
And so all those people that say that, like, I was that guy. So I can at least tell you guys, like, listen, I get it. I was there. You'll be fine. It's not about being the best to walk in. It's about learning how to be better the first day. So yeah, that's how it all started. Shout out to Justin. Buddy.
And what a workout to start with. I love it when someone comes in and they're like, oh yeah, my first workout was like Fran or Cindy or like a proper benchmark board. Like, but then I suppose actually in 2008, there, as much as there were benchmark wads, there weren't a ton of them then. So like Fran was one of the originals.
All the girls were pretty much set by then. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we've got the new girls that happened in the last couple of years and, you know, the hero workouts. I mean, but yeah, it was, but we didn't even know. I had no idea. I had no idea what I was doing. Some would argue I still don't, but I'm doing the best I can with what I got.
I love that. And it's such a good story because it's so true. And we all know then people that have done it that turn up and then disappear for a few months and then come back and the same thing happens again, because as you say, the only way to get better at CrossFit is to do it. But I feel like, and I don't know, you've obviously been in it a lot longer than myself, but this notion of, oh, I'm not fit enough to do CrossFit or I need to be fitter, I feel like it kind of happened quite a lot at the beginning when CrossFit maybe wasn't as popular as it is now. And now there's this notion of like everyone can do CrossFit, which is of course true. Have you seen that kind of shift? Obviously working in many different roles, running an affiliate, have you seen that the kind of, I suppose the scarcity of people when they walk in a gym, have you seen that change over the years?
I have. And I think the reason for that was just like any niche trend or fitness trend. And we know CrossFit is not a trend anymore, as they've been saying, it's been a trend for the last 10 years. Like, oh no, we're still growing and it's still getting better. And so it's here to stay. And it was a certain demographic of people then that were drawn to it really quickly without having to care or know exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. Right. And so over the last 20 years, we've been able to articulate what CrossFit is and how it can be used for all walks of life and the value of it and why that is important than we ever did 20 years ago. Right. 20 years ago, it was just like crazy fit people that wanted to join a CrossFit gym, or ex-athletes that were looking for that adrenaline rush again, or the people that wanted a coach. Like, those are the original athletes into CrossFit because it was really easy to sell them. And almost you didn't even have to.
Yeah.
Right. But then you take someone who has never played a sport or is extremely deconditioned or have never worked out a day in their life, and they walk into a gym in 2005 and they just see all these bodies, that they're like, I don't belong here at all, which is completely untrue. That was just the demographic that we had at the time. It was mostly men, and they're mostly all dude bros, and the music's loud. Like, look at any old YouTube video, like circa 2005 to 2008, and the song choices we had on those YouTube videos. Like, that's what it was like in the gym.
Yeah.
And so that stigma we had eventually buck after a while. But you're right, there is a massive shift in the way people start CrossFit and the diverse demographics we have in CrossFit, because it is true that CrossFit is for anyone. It truly
Absolutely.
Is. It is for anyone, and everyone can benefit if they do CrossFit. At the same time, just like preference, it's not for everyone. And Absolutely. That's not a matter of like, I am incapable of doing CrossFit. It's just that I choose not to. But the way we can articulate that and show people that, and have just a different group of people, all walks of life now in a class, when somebody walks into the gym, is like, yes, listen, your scenario is right over there in the corner, versus I promise you'll be fine. Don't worry about these guys and girls over here. You're going to be just fine. And so I think the way we've educated our coaches, if you just think about in terms of, you know, empirical data, just being what happens inside the walls of the gym over the course of 2 decades, it's like, we know now that it's not just a catchphrase from Greg Glassman. It's like, no, CrossFit truly is for anyone. Give me one example of it can't be worked. Like, oh, I have this thing. It's like, no problem. We can work around that. Or I've super deconditioned, or I'm overweight, or I'm too old. And I think that's really the new frontier for CrossFit. And they know that, is that we want to make sure that we can reach the people that self-select out of CrossFit before they even start. It's not the people who hate it, right?
I don't care
about the people who hate CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hate everything. Pick a thing. Yeah. There's a group of people dedicated to hating that thing, right? We'll always have the haters, which is totally fine, because that means you're doing something right, right? Is that I want to reach the people, and CrossFit wants to reach the people who would love to start CrossFit, but have decided themselves that they can't do it. And so that new demographic isn't the super fit, the ex-athlete, the competitor, the fitness enthusiast that's just looking for something new because they're bored of whatever it is that they're doing here. But it's the overweight that believe they're too out of shape or too overweight to start CrossFit, or I'm too old, or I'm injured, or this, that, and the other. It's like, it's just in their heads, and they won't even take the step to maybe email that gym or call that phone number or walk into the door and ask if it's for them. And I think that's really the final frontier of getting outside our little bubble. Cause we, like, when we talk to ourselves, like, we know how great CrossFit is. The CrossFit has changed our lives.
Yeah.
To what degree, it's different from person to person, but it has a massive change and shift, all for the positive. But can we get those people that have decided that they can't do it for whatever reason, and they just never even asked the question? We need to get outside that bubble and just try to reach those people. I think that's that's the last step that CrossFit is working towards.
I love that. I think we should just put that as a quote and get people, when they go onto the website, just click that and listen to you.
There you go.
That's their new selling point. But it's so true. And I love that, as you say, there's still a way to go, but it is heading in that direction. For anyone who is new to CrossFit in the last kind of few years, who knows you as you are now, as a broadcaster, as someone who obviously hosts CrossFit Games podcasts and many, many things, they may not know that you once went to the games yourself and were an athlete. So joining in 2008, obviously, depending on the time of year, etc., were the games a thing? Had you heard of the games? Were you there when they first got announced? What was And it's funny because you obviously said your ego showed up as well in the gym. When you heard that CrossFit Games was a thing, were you like, right, okay, that's the goal? Are you stuck at a plateau and without a recent PB? Mergs has you covered. Bringing you the highest performance CrossFit and weightlifting equipment on the market, Mergs is your secret weapon to set a new best. Whether that's knee sleeves, grips, or tape, Mergs has everything you need to stay protected and performing. Head over to Mergs.com now and save 15% on all orders with the code WOD15.
So I joined late 2008. So this was post the 2008 CrossFit Games. I didn't even know about the competitive landscape until 2009, when, yes, we had a regional format, because in 2007, 2008, you could just sign up.
Yeah.
Like you could sign up to go to the CrossFit Games. In 2009, they started having last chance qualifiers or a way to qualify to the CrossFit Games, which eventually became regionals. And I was still new to the gym. And I guess this is early. It's the same season format. And they're like, hey, the regionals or this qualifier to the CrossFit Games is this weekend. And, you know, the owner is competing with five or six other athletes in the gym. I was like, what's that? Like, well, there's a competition called the CrossFit Games. It's like, what's the CrossFit Games? It's like, it's a competition of people can come together and basically compete in CrossFit. And I got the concept of CrossFit. It's either for time, for weight, for reps, for distance, whatever you wanted to do, right? And I was like, it's a sport? So immediately, yep. I was like, what? And so I still was so new. I didn't have a gym t-shirt yet. So there's regionals. It's 2009. It's outside Fort Worth. And I show up. I barely know anybody still. I walk up. One of my friends brought an extra shirt that I could wear. And I'm sitting outside the fence. It was at, it was a place called GSX CrossFit. And it's not there anymore. It's actually now CrossFit Iron Horse. But I'm looking through the rails and I'm watching these people compete. And it was like five rounds, 500 meter row, and then like DT or something, like squat clean throw. I don't know what it was. It's something close to that. And I'm sitting there watching, and I'm with these people, and I go, next year I'm going to be on the other side of this fence. And that was it. I was sold. I was still like, I was still peak triathlon training and that, but CrossFit is slowly infusing its way into my weekly routine. As CrossFit came in, other things started to, I wasn't hanging out with my friends as much, and I was in more of the gym, and I wasn't going out as much because I was like, oh man, like I can't work out on a Saturday if I go out on a Friday. I got to pick one, right? Do I want to get better at this, or do I want to go out and, you know, be a single idiot for a night or two? So, yeah, it was instantaneous. Once I found out that you could compete in this, I was like, that's it. I'm doing it. Because when I was a swimmer, I was very good at, we called it dry land training, which just means we're out of the water.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, running stadium stairs and doing push-ups and sit-ups. And we would do that two or three times a week. And then we'd go to the weight room two or three times a week. And I would train so hard in those out of water training sessions. And then I would practice as hard as I could to get better. I just wasn't the fastest swimmer in the world. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, there's the talent will not necessarily outdo hard work, but if you're just not that good, you can work as hard as you want and you might get on the playing field. You might get on the court, right? But those guys were still just otherworldly. So I was never the fastest swimmer, but I was one of the hardest workers on the team. So when I found CrossFit, which is basically just working out competitively, I was like, oh, this is my sport. Like I was the best worker outer on my swim team. Nobody wanted to work as hard as me. And now I get to compete in the workout part and I don't have to do like the specialized racing portion. So it was like a match made in heaven for me.
That's what I was going to ask actually, because I suppose with swimming or even with like Ironman triathlon, you know what you're letting yourself in for on race day, you know, the distance you're going to go, etc. with CrossFit, obviously you don't know a lot of the time until the day or the day before, etc. How did you adjust that? Did you quite enjoy the fact that you couldn't, there's only so much preparation you can do?
I loved it. Because when I was in college, I was an overthinker and a stressor. So I would usually have my fastest swims in the mornings. So you have a preliminary swim and then you can make the finals, which is, you know, prelims might have a couple hundred athletes and the finals will only have eight of the eight lanes. Mm-hmm. So I could make the final, but then I would just bomb by that time. And it was a tough lesson to learn is like, okay, when the lights got brightest, I would overthink myself or overstress myself almost to exhaustion before the race even started. Like I'm sitting behind the blocks and like my shoulders are tired or my heart rate has been going at 150 beats per minute since I walked onto the pool deck warmups. And knowing what it was for so long, I mean, look, I was a 200 meter freestyler. It's the same race when you sit in practice, whether it's on the, you know, finals, prelims, like it does, there's not a lot of variance there. The practices can change, but even those, you know, there's not a whole lot of different things you can do. And once I found CrossFit, it was just so varied and everything changed. And I really loved the unknown and unknowable element. So for years, I would show up to the gym and not know what the workout was for the day.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. So I'd be sitting there at 6 a.m, just watching the coach write every single thing. Just, it's like Christmas, unpacking a present every day. And I don't know if that initial experience helped me figure out workouts faster, because I didn't have all week to look at it. Cause when I owned my affiliate for a decade and I always sent out the programming on Sunday. So everybody got to see for the week. And that would stress some people out. Cause like, hey, Friday's workout, what the hell is this? I'm like, it's a good workout. That's what it is. And so dissecting a workout and early on when I was first working out was just a matter of survival. It's like, how am I going to finish this? How am I going to do that? And then there was a turning point where it wasn't a matter of like, can I finish this? But then it started to turn in like, how fast can I finish this? What do I have to do to beat my competition bro in the gym? What, how can I manipulate this workout? Where should I go fast? Where should I go slow? Where should I break? So that started to happen. So I got to a point where I was fit enough to start to play with these workouts, and they're just workouts. So when it became competition day, I loved the nerdiness and the nuance of what the workout was, how to break it down, how to move fast. And I think that's what led me into just falling in love with programming to begin was just being a nerd athlete first.
But it's what makes you so good at what you do as well, because also if anyone's kind of listened to your podcast and anything as well, it's hearing all these different ways that you can kind of figure things out. And many, many people, I'm sure, that maybe listen to this will go into the gym and just go, right, okay, I've just got to do this workout. But actually so many of us will go, okay. And as you say, like, how do I finish this? How fast can I go? And particularly that's what I love so much about benchmark kind of wads, is that you can do it so many different ways over the years and see, you know, what works for me, what doesn't. Watching, obviously going to the games, and have you been at every single game since in some capacity?
So my first games was 2010.
Yeah.
That's when I qualified individually. So a very, very long time ago. And yes, I have been to every CrossFit game since 2010. So I only missed 7, 8, 9.
What's the biggest change you've seen over them kind of 14 years?
I mean, just the scale of it. Like in 2010, I mean, 2007, 8, 9, it had its own classic backyard barbecue feel, right? It was at the ranch. That setting was very intimate, but it was also very special. One of those things is like, I don't have a lot of I wish I could have's, in CrossFit. Thankfully, just because I was, you know, I still think I started CrossFit late.
Which anyone listening, they'll be like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I'm 08, but if I meet anyone that's like 4 or 5, like mm-hmm. that's, I'm just so jealous how long they've been around and what they got to experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, in 2010, when we moved to Carson, California, it was a pull-up rig in the middle of a tennis stadium in a little circle that is smaller than, I would say, 80% of affiliates pull-up rigs.
Yeah.
And there was a couple hundred people in the stands. I could hear my parents. Like, yeah. That's how noisy it was. I could hear mm-hmm. people saying my name versus, you know, just screams and cheers. And what it's turned into now is amazing. Like the super fans, the stadiums and the coliseums and the outdoor venues that they build, and just the scale has just massively grown.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, it's like rightly so. It is, there's no other sport like it in the world where the fans can connect with the athletes on a pure level of understanding, right? They might not know what it's like to lift that weight, but they know what it's like to lift the heaviest weight they've ever lifted or fail the lift that they tried to. Like, people know what that is. People have all failed on a pull-up. People have mm-hmm. all crashed and burned because they went out too fast and then couldn't finish the workout. People know what it's like to go so long that, you know, that your battery just dies out. Like, people understand that on a level that is different than any other sport. Like, even swimming now, I cannot relate as much to swimmers now because they are so unbelievably fast now. It's arguably a different sport than uh-huh. when I was, you know, and I get it a bit because I did do it for so long. So I know how fast that is and I can engage with that. But a casual fan who's never been a swimmer, they don't know what it is.
No.
Like, oh, look how fast they're going. I'm like, no, look how fast. Like, you have no, that's a boat. That's what it is. That person is a boat. And that's the cool thing about CrossFit games is, or semifinals or a local comp, is that everybody gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that connection between fan and athlete is tighter than any sport in the world.
Yeah, I agree. And I say it a lot, even from a training perspective, you know, you can go into an affiliate and train with a games athlete. You know,
right.
It doesn't happen all the time, but you can, and you can't do that in any other sport. You can't just walk onto a football pitch and
right.
Tom Brady be there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you never know, but it's crazy. And I, again, for anyone who knows you now, like, they know your voice and you're doing play-by-play and all these things, but it seems like it was quite an organic process from you going from athlete to kind of commentator. What did it feel quite organic at the time? How did that all happen?
It was very serendipitous in a sense. Like, if you've been in CrossFit long enough, there are just certain things that all happen at the right time in the right place. Mm-hmm. I feel like most people have had that moment, whether it's their first time into the CrossFit, like my first experience into finding a CrossFit gym. That was a very serendipitous moment. I was looking for something new. I ran into an old friend and he brought me to CrossFit.
Yeah.
Like, that's the magical part that is just, how did this happen? And as far as broadcasting was concerned, I had made the games in 10. I just missed it in 11, but then I had to have shoulder surgery in 12 because of an old injury from high school. I separated my shoulder playing basketball like an idiot, because I'm a swimmer. What am I doing on a basketball court? And I had found out through, who knew, functional fitness and functional movements with full range of motion is like, oh, that thing I've been avoiding because my shoulder has been hurting, I can't really avoid when I do CrossFit. And I found out that I had to have, you know, I tore my rotator cuff and biceps tendon because I separated my shoulder 6 years prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just started to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time, I was so, like I said, priorities, right? I was so consumed and wrapped up into trying to make the CrossFit games again. When I lost that because I was having shoulder surgery, and this was like March of 2012. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was coaching at the gym, but my identity was totally consumed by CrossFit. at every level. It wasn't just competing, like from coaching to programming to private training to helping manage a gym, competing, all, you know, helping others compete too, helping teammates, like all we did. And so from 10, 11, we had qualified two teams to the games those 2 years, and we're trying to qualify for 2012. And I had helped pick those athletes and manage those teams because the format was a little bit different back then. It was unique. And we got the most out of these athletes, which was cool. So I was a bit lost, and a buddy of mine, we sat down and had coffee because, you know, I was just feeling down on myself and just a little pity party because I didn't get to compete anymore this year. And he's like, you know, what you should do is, like, you do a decent job of selecting teams to compete and qualify for the CrossFit Games. And at the time there was the update show. And so the update show was like Pat Sherwood and Roy McKernan, and then a couple guests here and there. And it was like a weekly show during the Open. And they would have these different segments. And my buddy, his name's Richard Drew. He's like, you should pitch a segment on how to select teams for regionals based off the programming. I was like, oh, that's a cool idea. And so I was like, so I took that concept and I sent it to, I didn't really know anybody in media, but I had, with the limited exposure I had in the competition world, I knew some like local photographers. They worked for CrossFit at the time. And so I sent an email to a friend of mine. His name's Dave Ray. And he's a photographer for CrossFit, and he still does stuff now. But I was like, hey, I have this idea. Can you send it to someone for me? And 2 days later, I get a call, and it's Roy McKernan. It's like, hey, I heard you had some interest in doing media stuff for CrossFit. I was like, yes. He's like, have you ever done in media or broadcasting? I said, no. He's like, do you want to? I said, yes. And that year in 2012, they were going to live stream a regional for the first time, like in real time. And it was they're going to go to the Central East. Why? Because everybody was in the Central East that year. 2012. Rich, Dan, Graham, Scott, Marcus Hendren. I mean, we didn't really know Scott and Marcus at the time just because they hadn't qualified yet, but they were going to qualify that year. They were only supposed to take three, but we took five because like Rich and Graham both got in the top three. It was wild, right? What was even crazier is like those five guys were in like the top 10 that year at the CrossFit Games. Like it was a stacked region. The women were also just as fantastic, but the men in the Central East, it was just like, you didn't want to be in that region. Like people would leave that region. They would come to my region. I was like, no, get away. This is my pond. And as far as the organic part, it was not that. Because when I first got brought on, I was like I said, it's like I was very steeped in the intricacies of CrossFit itself, the training, the coaching, the programming, the competition, all that. Like that's where I poured all of my energy. And when they brought me on to be a play-by-play guy. And so when you're on a broadcast, there's two different people really having a conversation in the booth. It's a play-by-play person who is giving you the what is happening right now, who it is, and what they're doing. Then the color analyst comes in and it's all the why. This is what's happening and why. This is how they're approaching. This is how you should. These are the strategies. They brought me in as a play-by-play guy, which is what people go to school for. Because you don't have to be super steeped in as far as the knowledge of the sport, but you need to know how to start a show, introduce the commentators, set the scene, talk about all the athletes, not mess up their names, which I still do, especially in Europe. And that I was like, this is not me. Like I don't belong here at all. And I would watch the other color commentators, and no disrespect to, we had like 12 or 16 people. It was a huge tryout, and I would watch who they had over there. And I'm like, I should be one of those guys. Like that's where I am. And it's like, we have too many of these. And so you need to be this. So I had to learn this role from scratch with no experience. And it was clear how much experience I lacked for years when it came. Like after we did the regionals, I was like, I'm never getting called back for this. And for some reason, they called me back to do the games. And I think I did like the first half of heats for the individual women because Sean Woodland was the main guy. And, you know, we would call all the heats, but for Sean, it's like, it's a long week of the CrossFit game. So we would offset some of the earlier heats, still cover them. And then Sean would catch up on like the two or three last main heats. And I thought I was horrible there. And it was just so hard to figure out. And I made all the mistakes in the world and clutch words and writing things down and trying to read off a piece of paper. Cause you're not on camera, but you'd screw that up. And I just trial by fire and learning by error. So it was very unorganic in the way that I was brought into the scene, but luckily I was in a time and place where they were just trying to develop their broadcasting team. And so I thought for sure after the games, like that was it. Like they're going to find someone who's an actual professional to cover this job because you don't need someone who's a big time CrossFitter to do play by play. You absolutely have to have that for color commentary. But then after about a year or two, I enjoyed the role. I put in a tremendous amount of work to figure out how to do this thing. And so I took to it. And it wasn't until I think 5 years later, pieces shifted around and they're like, hey, do you want to try to do color commentary? I'm like, yes. But yes. It was funny because at that time I didn't want to anymore. I'd spent so much work trying to do this play by play role and I was fine. I started doing teams. So then I was like, I would do all the team play by play, whether it was at the games, at regionals, I would do both. But, you know, Sean Woodland was men and women. Bill Grundler was the individual color commentator for the men, Tanya Wagner for the women. And I was like, I'm doing teams. I've got a great gig. You know, I'll spell Sean for a couple early heats too. Like I thought that was like peak broadcasting for me. And then after a while they were like, maybe you should shift over to color commentator. Cause they started to find CrossFit people who did play by play. And so like professionals, people better than me at that job. Right. I was just trying to do this. And these people like went to school for this. They majored in this. This is what they wanted to do. And they just happened to do CrossFit. And so they were obviously a natural fit for that position. But then eventually I got pushed over to color and that's where like I am home. I'm so comfortable there. I love being a color commentator, but I've done play by play color. I've worked the desk. I've done sideline interviews. I've, you know, podcasts, like I've tried to do everything, which I think is actually very helpful for me and Sean's relationship when it comes to broadcasting, because color commentators, although I'm proving this myth correct because I've been talking for like 10 minutes straight, I feel like to talk a lot. And so when they see something happening, they just are so in, they just want to share all the knowledge or experience for the viewers, but they also have to shut up from time to time so that the play-by-play guy can do his job. And the important thing to know is like that relationship where you don't have to like tap the person because I want to talk, or it's like, I know exactly when to shut up normally on a broadcast because I know what Sean needs. Like I know the importance of whatever's shifting on the competition floor. Like I know that's for Sean and I know when he's done where I can pick up. And so the uniqueness in my position is that I've done all of these roles for so long. I have a better understanding of timing and energy when it's needed and when it doesn't have to really be there. There's nothing forced or faked. Like it's all natural. So that relationship I think has really helped me and Sean's collective broadcast now when it comes to that.
I love that. And you weren't talking for that long as well.
I always feel weird on podcasts because if I'm hosting, I don't really talk as much. Yeah. I feel like I'm taking over the podcast when
it's great. That's the whole point.
I know, it's just weird.
I know, I love that. And actually, what I was going to ask is, you're obviously an athlete and everything, and I know now you're in your master's categories and everything. Would we ever see you back out on the competition floor?
I would say if I qualify, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 40. I'm 41. I'll be 42 this year. I was so mad to miss last year because I was turning 40. I was like, okay, I'm aging up. So now's prime time to just get in while I can. I would like to do it again. it's not at the forefront of like my life priorities. You know, I've got two kids. My son just started kindergarten. My daughter's four. So they're all their sports. I'm coaching. So I'm way more attentive than that. You know, I got my wife is a full-time attorney, and you know, I just like life right now is my priority of family and kids. And I'm getting back into the swing of things a little bit after really missing a whole year last year, but I do miss competing a lot.
So never say never.
Never say never. And if I were to qualify, I would say organically, I definitely would step back on the competition floor and give it a go again.
Love that. Well, that's very exciting. I can't let you go before asking you some final quick fire questions.
Ooh, okay.
Very excited to hear these. So firstly, your favorite lift?
Overhead squat.
Nice. Not many masters would say that either. Especially not someone who's had shoulder surgery. So,
well, I am a horrible lifter in general, but somehow the overhead squat I have figured out.
Love that. Yeah. Favorite overall CrossFit movement?
Favorite overall CrossFit movement? I love ring muscle ups. Yes.
And we've chatted about them quite a lot, but your favorite benchmark WOD?
My all-time favorite benchmark is Helen. So 3 rounds for time, 400 meter run, 21 kettlebell swings, and 12 pull-ups. I think it's the perfect CrossFit workout.
Love that. And I've got one final question, but I'm actually going to ask you it in two different ways.
Ooh,
because
okay.
I'm going to ask you to build a dream team to go to the games. And just because of your background, I'd like to ask you, one, if you could pick four athletes to put in a team and send across, and then if you could pick kind of three people that you would go with. So two teams.
Oh, two teams. Okay. Like the ultimate.
The ultimate dream team.
And
yeah.
To win. Rich, number one. And then who would I pair him with? Sounds like a cop out. It's actually the team that never got to happen. I would put Rich and one of the most underrated team athlete men is Tola Morquino.
Absolutely.
So I'll put Rich and Tola. I was gonna say Rich and Scott, but they're the same person. I'll put Rich and Tola, and then I'm putting Andrea and Nisler and Taylor Williamson on that team. I think that they are the best female pair. I don't care about individual women. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's kind of what you want.
No, I am here for it because I agree. I think they are the
dream team.
I'm
getting very literal about who I think would actually be the best team. And it's not for individuals that have never competed before. So I'm like putting weird constraints on this. But for the sake of fun, if I were to put two individual female on the team, what would be fun to watch? Man, this might cause problems, but I would like to see. I would like to see Kara Saunders, because I think she's like a low key savage. And then I put Daniel Brandon on the team.
Oh, nice. Because
she is a savage, but she's also Daniel Brandon is one of the most athletic women we've ever had in the sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think in the team setting, athleticism is very important, not necessarily because of like your abilities and skill wise, but it's your ability to work in a team setting, because nothing really goes to plan, and being able to adapt on the fly physically is, I think, very important. So yeah, Rich, Tola, Cara, and Danielle.
Nice.
Your second
idea. I'm excited to see Cara on the team this year. It's going to be good. And if you would go on a team, who would you go with, just for fun?
For my fun team, this is cheating. Myself, Bill Grundler, because he's a freak athlete, but he's like super fit. I think we'd have a lot of fun together. What women would I pick? I would pick Nicole Carroll. Be on my team.
Yeah, great shout.
And probably, I'm just gonna go with two of the original nasty girls,
mm-hmm.
like Nicole Carroll and Annie Sakamoto.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say Annie. I was like, yeah, that's a dream team. Awesome. Oh,
just, that would just be a fun team to be on. Not fun to do a worm workout with.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm 6'2", Bill's like almost 6 feet, and then we got two girls that are maybe 5 feet tall. That would get hard. But as far as just too fun, I mean, like Annie Sakamoto is just a bag of energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like to compete with Nicole Carroll, one, because she never has before. So yeah. It would be like her first time getting out on there.
Yeah. I'd love to watch it. Maybe we should put you guys forward for Rogue Legends.
Ooh, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not legendary status. I see those people out there. I'm like, yep, nope, not yet.
You never know.
Yeah, oh, maybe 20 years from now when they start bringing in like broadcasters.
I think you'd get a spot. I think you'd earn a spot.
We'll have start to, a position. I'd have to get in a lot better shape.
Well, you never know.
Never know. It'd be a reason to start training hard again.
There you go. We'll just, you
not
know,
the
we'll
games,
manifest it.
Right? Not that.
It not would the be games. That. Rogue Legends.
I mean, I would eat
arguably
than I ever have.
Yeah. Arguably more fun to watch sometimes.
Yes.
Love that. Well, Chase, it has been an absolute pleasure. As I said, thank you so much for joining me. And I hope to speak to you again soon, but enjoy the rest of the season and hopefully see you maybe on the competition floor. So
yeah, we'll see.